Chapter 3. Threats to be countered by short-range air defense. This chapter summarizes the air threats facing Army and Joint Forces that SHORAD must counter. The summaries are generic threat capability descriptions. The threats to be countered are UASs, manned helicopters, manned fixed-wing aircraft, RAM, cruise missiles, and tactical air-to-surface missiles. In addition to air threats, SHORAD forces must contend with electromagnetic and cyberspace attacks, as well as ground attacks by enemy forces. Common threats to all Army and Joint Forces. Threat overview. In the past, United States forces have enjoyed relative advantages over their adversaries with superior capabilities in the air, land, maritime, space, and cyberspace domains. However, adversaries of the past have become near-peer threats, able to challenge United States operations in all of these domains. United States adversaries have closely observed emerging United States capabilities and have focused their capabilities and approaches that create or exploit United States vulnerabilities while avoiding United States strengths. Today's air threats continue to evolve in capability and quantity, with a trend toward a greater investment in UASs, ballistic missiles, and cruise missiles. Within the last decade, the air and missile arsenals of today's adversaries have become more robust, diverse, and complex. Newer missile and some indirect fire threats can maneuver in various stages of flight. Not only do our adversaries have access to the increasingly sophisticated ballistic missiles, but they also have a growing array of cruise missiles, UASs, and RAM. Many of these are increasingly available on the world market. Additionally, traditional air threats will still exist in the world of tomorrow. Helicopters continue to pose a significant lethal hazard for ground forces. Fixed-wing aircraft continue to evolve as expensive but highly capable weapon systems. All of these air and missile threats must be addressed by Army and Joint AMD forces within the context of anti-access/area denial operations and of defeating increasingly sophisticated countermeasures, electromagnetic attack, and cyberspace efforts. The threat will attempt to develop an overmatch in an area to mitigate the capabilities of the United States force. One area of possible overmatch is advanced electromagnetic attack, in which a threat system jams or spoofs across the electromagnetic spectrum in an attempt to hamper an ADA system's ability to detect or engage a threat platform or projectile. As the ADA force becomes more network-centric, a sophisticated cyberspace attack could potentially hamper the AMD network's ability to support the detection, identification, or engagement of a target. Another tactic is a complex integrated attack, which is designed to overwhelm defense of a site by employing different capabilities. A complex integrated attack is a synchronized attack of a friendly asset by a mix of air and missile threats arriving near simultaneously from different directions, altitudes, and range, FM 3-01. This mix may include any or all air and missile threats. Complex integrated attacks will likely be supported by enemy activities in other domains, such as jamming efforts in the cyberspace domain, as noted above, and special operations forces attacks in the land domain. Threat special operations forces can attack from any direction. ADA systems have a limited force protection capability, large perimeters, and vulnerability to special operations force attacks if force protection is not coordinated with and supplemented by the supported unit. Potential adversaries are investing in anti-access strategies and area denial capabilities to counter the United States' ability to project military force into an operational area with sufficient freedom of action to accomplish assigned missions. The concept of anti-access/area denial is to control the access into and movement within a region. Preclusion is the combination of anti-access and area denial methods that seeks to influence the ability of an enemy outside the region to introduce forces into the theater and sustain combat power. Threat set. The emerging air and missile threat set is diverse and complex, encompassing a wide range of air and indirect fire threats to be countered by SHORAD. The air threats are UASs, helicopters, fixed-wing aircraft, cruise missiles, and tactical air-to-surface missiles. The indirect fire threat consists of RAM, unmanned aircraft systems. An unmanned aircraft system is that system whose components include the necessary equipment, network, and personnel to control an unmanned aircraft. JP 3-30. Threat UASs are categorized in groups 1 through 5, typically based on weight, operating altitude, and speed. Groups 1 through 3 are considered to be small UASs and are particularly dangerous due to the challenges which they present to friendly sensor systems for detection and identification, and for weapon systems to consistently defeat them given their low and slow kinematic profile. These UASs are the targets for SHORAD systems. Listeners are encouraged to refer to Chapter 3 of the print version of this publication for a more detailed description of the UAS groups. UASs include drones, characterized by pre-programmed flight paths and patterns, and remotely piloted vehicles, generally controlled by ground-based operators. Some UASs may implement both drone and remotely piloted flight control types. Each can perform a variety of missions, ranging from reconnaissance and battlefield surveillance to attack and electromagnetic warfare. UASs have extensive commercial applications and, as a result, are readily available and arguably the most developed system in many armies around the world. Due to the prolific use of unmanned systems, commercial off-the-shelf UASs are readily available and can be weaponized with relative ease. There are over 1,000 current and developing UAS programs worldwide today. UASs are typically comprised of a control element, communication systems, support elements, an unmanned aircraft, a payload or pod, and a human element. UASs serve as intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance platforms for target detection, identification, and location, weapon targeting, target designation, and battle damage assessment. State-of-the-art sensors and data links provide real-time targeting for fire support systems, maneuver forces, and aircraft. UASs equipped with laser designators provide immediate targeting assistance and terminal guidance of munitions. UAS platforms also can serve as a means for weapons delivery or may themselves serve as the weapon and have been used extensively to attack high-payoff targets without endangering pilots. UASs have relatively low radar cross-sections, low speed, and low thermal signatures, thus making them difficult to detect, track, and engage. They may enter a friendly area of operations from multiple directions. Mission-dictated flight profiles take full advantage of terrain, increasing system survivability, and optimizing coverage. Flight altitudes for UASs vary by their size and mission. UASs conducting intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance missions operate at altitudes consistent with their sensor systems. They normally fly at altitudes safe from small arms fire. UASs, which SHORAD forces may encounter, can stand off and detect from up to 25 kilometers. Manned rotary wing aircraft. Most countries maintain helicopter fleets to support military operations. While the majority of helicopters can be armed to perform a variety of roles, the attack helicopter poses the greatest threat to maneuver forces. The versatility and survivability of helicopters make them ideal for use in most combat areas. Threat ground force commanders rely primarily on helicopters to fulfill direct air support requirements. Helicopters can perform a variety of missions, including reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition, weapon targeting, target designation, battle damage assessment, troop insertion, and target attack. Hovering and low-flying helicopters taking full advantage of terrain masking are difficult to acquire and target. An especially challenging ingress technique is nap-of-the-earth flying, in which a helicopter hovers at a masked point, dashes to the next masked point, and hovers again. This technique is challenging because of short exposure times and varying between near-zero Doppler and moderate Doppler velocities. Improvements in fire control and weapon capabilities enable helicopters to search, acquire, and fire at ground targets from longer standoff ranges, thus increasing their survivability and effectiveness. Manned fixed-wing aircraft. Air power remains essential to virtually every type of military operation, and it will continue to play a role in future conflicts, despite the emergence of ballistic missiles and cruise missiles. There are more than 40,000 operational military aircraft today. Some 10,000 were produced during the Cold War era and are currently in third world inventories. Over 50 countries have an aviation industry of some kind, and over 20 countries design their own aircraft. Manned, fixed-wing combat aircraft are highly flexible and can perform a variety of missions in offensive and defensive operations. Air interdiction, strategic attack, suppression of enemy air defense, close air support, and intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. Fixed-wing aircraft can employ a variety of munitions, including bombs, guns, rockets, cruise missiles, and tactical air-to-surface missiles. Integrated navigation/bombing computers and related mission equipment provide new combat aircraft with a precision strike capability, day or night, and in bad weather. New aircraft incorporate such features as radar warning receivers, onboard jammers, chaff, flares, and a lower radar cross-section to improve survivability and mission success rate. In addition, the proliferation of fixed-wing aircraft throughout the world increases the probability that opposing forces may employ the same type of aircraft in a conflict. This exacerbates the already challenging problem of identification. Rockets, artillery, and mortars. RAM are traditional indirect fire threats to ground forces. These systems vary in size and effect. Rockets and artillery are usually fired from towed or self-propelled platforms, while mortars are frequently transported by dismounted crews. Rockets are unguided projectiles that generally fly ballistic trajectories with a short boost phase and unpowered flight. The most common type of warhead is high explosive with a point detonating fuse. Rockets are commonly fired from self-propelled platforms known as multiple rocket launchers. Multiple rocket launchers may fire large volleys of rockets, 20 to 40, with multiple launchers being used in a volley. Rockets come in many calibers, such as 57mm, 68mm, 80mm, 81mm, 107mm, 120mm, 122mm, and 127mm, and have ranges of 10 to 40 kilometers. Their high rate of fire, potential short reaction time, and volume of fire make them a stressing threat. Hybrid and irregular forces have used rockets as harassing fire, with improvised firing methods and delays to limit counterfire effects. Artillery and mortar rounds are also unpowered and traditionally fly ballistic trajectories, though emerging artillery rounds may have maneuvering capabilities. All known armies throughout the world have some form of artillery. The most common artillery calibers are 122mm, 152mm, and 155mm. Unless using rocket-assisted projectiles, artillery systems are generally limited to 20 to 30 kilometers. The most common mortar calibers are 60 to 120mm, but include many variants, such as 81mm, 82mm, 100mm, and 160mm. Cruise missiles. Cruise missiles can travel at low to high supersonic or high subsonic speeds, are self-navigating, and can fly non-ballistic trajectories at very low to very high atmospheric altitudes. Cruise missiles are reliable, accurate, survivable, and lethal. They can be launched from the land, air, or sea. Today's cruise missile can hit a target with remarkable accuracy. Tomorrow's smarter, maneuverable, more accurate missile will pose a far greater threat. Cruise missiles pose serious threats because of technological advancements and their operational characteristics. The incorporation of new technologies in airframe and warhead design, propulsion systems, and guidance systems has contributed to vastly improved systems. The increased use of composite materials in airframe construction has created stronger and lighter airframes. A range of low observable and stealth technologies has reduced their radar cross-sections. The use of air-breathing turbojet and turbofan engines has given cruise missiles a longer range and the capability to fly at high, subsonic speeds and altitudes lower than 50 meters above ground level. Their flight paths can be programmed using sophisticated guidance systems, such as the Global Positioning System, inertial navigation systems, and terrain contour matching. Their guidance systems contribute to overall accuracy, optimize surprise, and help avoid air defenses. A terminal guidance seeker increases accuracy to less than 10 meters. A wide array of warheads including individually targetable submunitions, allows targeting of both soft and hard targets. Operationally, they are difficult to detect, can fly indirect routes at low altitudes to avoid heavily defended areas, and can attack from any direction. Tactical air-to-surface missiles. Tactical air-to-surface missiles are air-launched, precision-guided munitions designed to strike ground targets. They are ideal against targets such as bridges that are difficult to destroy with conventional dumb bombs. Tactical air-to-surface missiles are an extremely lethal threat because of their versatility and pinpoint accuracy. Most variants employ radio command, laser, anti-radiation homing, or electro-optical guidance systems. Missiles that employ anti-radiation homing systems are referred to as anti-radiation missiles. They represent the greatest threat to radars, such as those employed by SHORAD forces. Electromagnetic warfare and cyberspace. Electromagnetic warfare and cyberspace threats are continuously present throughout the tactical, operational, and strategic levels of warfare. Electromagnetic warfare consists of the threat's ability to detect United States emitters, radar, and communications, and then deny, degrade, disrupt, or destroy those emitters and other electromagnetic spectrum-dependent devices. The most common form of tactical electromagnetic attack is electromagnetic jamming. Jamming consists of an emitter radiating electromagnetic energy to prevent a radar receiver from discerning the expected return from the background noise, or a radio from receiving voice or data. Advanced jamming techniques allow the threat to project false location, speed, and altitude, creating confusion for radar operators. Regional powers, peer states, and transnational terrorist organizations have personnel with capabilities of conducting cyberspace attacks on installations and sites. Cyberspace attacks are expected against C2 nodes, theater, and tactical data and voice networks, information systems, radars, and their tracking and targeting systems, and missile guidance packages. The threat is expected to use cyberspace attacks in conjunction with physical attacks as part of a larger campaign. Cyberspace threats can prevent target detection, tracking, and engagement of threat munitions and platforms. Threat application. Air threat employment against United States ground forces will vary from country to country. This employment will be driven by threat equipment, capability, organizational structure, military, political goals, and such other factors as terrain, weather, time, and friendly air defenses likely encountered. By understanding air threat proliferation and equipment, the commander can make assumptions on how a threat may employ air assets to interdict United States operations. The following information describes the type of threat that may be associated with anti-access and area denial and large-scale combat operations. Potential adversaries are investing in anti-access strategies and area denial capabilities to counter the United States' ability to project military force into an operational area with sufficient freedom of action to accomplish assigned missions. Entry forces in an anti-access and area denial environment may deploy in an air inferiority or air parity environment. The threat will use all available aerial assets against lucrative targets, such as air and seaports, assembly areas, and supply points in the areas of debarkation. The challenge to the SHORAD commander during this phase will be UASs conducting reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition operations supporting targeting of troop and logistical concentrations by low-altitude attack aircraft and missiles. As United States forces build up, threat UASs will focus on locating unit movements, gathering information on unit sizes and strengths, and determining their follow-on movements. Information obtained by reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition will be relayed back to commanders, who can be expected to use any attack means necessary to inflict maximum casualties, inhibit momentum, and destroy forces. These aerial attack systems could be rotary and fixed-wing aircraft, cruise missiles, lethal UASs, or combinations thereof in synchronized attacks. The threat can counter large-scale combat operations with a myriad of aerial platforms. UASs will provide the threat commander the necessary information to determine friendly unit locations, movements, and objectives. Air and ram strikes will be generated from the information collected about such targets as maneuver forces, forward arming and refueling points, C2 nodes, artillery assets, and reserve troop concentrations. Lethal UASs can be effective in disabling C2 nodes or destroying armored vehicles. Cruise missiles could be used against logistics concentrations, C2 nodes, or with submunitions for area denial. Helicopters could be used to attack forward elements and the flanks of the advancing maneuver forces to slow their tempo, cause confusion, and thereby inflict maximum casualties. Attack helicopters constitute the most widespread and capable air threat to ground forces in the close battle. Threat ground forces, especially special operations forces, are a constant danger to AMD assets, as they are considered to be critical targets. Ground forces can attack from any direction against SHORAD units, which have limited force protection capabilities, large perimeters, and are quite vulnerable if force protection is not coordinated with and complemented by the supported unit. During friendly offensive operations, threat forces will attempt to use their maneuver and fire support assets to regain the initiative. UASs will conduct reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition operations to support targeting and maneuver. Helicopters will be used as either dedicated attack assets or armed utility helicopters. Helicopter assets can be used in attack, air insertion, or reconnaissance. Helicopters in the attack will usually consist of at least two or more, taking full advantage of cover and concealment with the mission of disrupting friendly operations. Helicopters in the reconnaissance role will operate in the same manner as UASs to support artillery targeting and maneuver. In some cases, helicopters will be used in conjunction with threat armored forces to deter friendly penetrations. Threat fixed-wing aircraft usage may be limited but cannot be counted out. During defensive operations, friendly forces are the most vulnerable to the full spectrum of threat aerial platforms. The enemy will attempt to use aerial platforms to monitor friendly forces for targeting. The number one challenge to the SHORAD platoon will be to deny the enemy's use of air reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, and target acquisition assets. An enemy will use UASs, helicopters, and possibly fixed-wing aircraft to determine the locations of friendly artillery, C2 nodes, ADA assets, logistical sites, and troop concentration areas. Once these sites are located, threat forces will likely disrupt or destroy these sites with the use of RAM, air attacks, and air insertion. Artillery and rockets will be the enemy's preferred weapons against United States forces and ADA assets. These weapons are usually numerous, inexpensive, survivable, and highly effective. UASs will be employed to provide targeting data and attack critical assets. Attacks by helicopters and fixed wing are less likely due to the low survivability of these systems. Enemy air insertion operations will be conducted by either fixed wing assets or helicopters, and probably during the hours of limited visibility. Summary: the air, missile, and RAM threats as standalone systems or complemented by electromagnetic warfare / cyberspace and other capabilities in the land and space domains create formidable challenges to SHORAD systems and the Army and joint forces that SHORAD units defend. Listeners are encouraged to refer to Chapter 3 of the print version of FM 3-01.44 for a detailed summary of these threats, their primary targets, their capabilities, and trends.